Be seated. Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So Jesus, in the reading today, he says, if the same person sins against you 7 times in a day, and then turns back 7 times in a day and says, I repent, you must forgive them. You must forgive them. See, the mandate for those of us who follow Jesus is very clear. When someone has wronged us, we are commanded to forgive. But I fear that as a church, not only here, but as the church, we've forgotten what it actually means to forgive. And I say that because this last week, all over the news, was a very public act of forgiveness. Anybody know what I'm talking about? For those of you who don't know, a man named Botham Jean, he was killed in his own home when a police officer who lived in the same apartment complex thought she was walking into her own apartment, but she was walking into his apartment. She thought he was breaking into her apartment, and she shot and killed him. And she was convicted for her crime. And she was sentenced for it. And during the sentencing, Brant Jean, Botham's brother, he publicly forgave his brother's killer. And people were divided about this and angry and not understanding her actions. Even some pastors I talked to thought he shouldn't have done that because of some bigger ideological narrative in society. See, we as a church may have forgotten the nature of forgiveness and how radical it actually is. Several years ago, I was looking into greeting card websites. Anybody ever use a greeting card website? Yeah, they're good. And I was looking at this section of occasional cards, and they had cards of, you know, baptisms or get well cards or condolence cards. And there was one section for cards to send to somebody when you forgive them. The cards, though, they were lighthearted and funny. They said things like, oh, don't forget about it, or forget about it, or don't worry about it. One of the cards even said, everyone's a work in progress. But these cards, they convey exactly the wrong message about what forgiveness is. And it's not the card maker's fault, because this is how we respond when people, when they apologize to us, when they've wronged us. We say things like, it's okay. We downplay the action of the person who sinned against us. But to forgive doesn't mean that we shrug off what happened. Forgiveness begins first with condemnation. In order to forgive the action that hurt you and damaged your relationship, you first have to condemn the action. Forgiveness doesn't downplay the sin that the other person committed against you. It names and acknowledges that they have indeed caused you pain. So in order to forgive, we have to face the fact that other people can, in fact, hurt us. We have to face that we can indeed be hurt by other people. Because if they haven't wronged us, if it is okay or if it's no big deal, then we don't need to forgive because no transgression has taken place. Forgiveness, it begins with condemnation. But the very soul, the very heart of forgiveness is not in the condemnation. The very soul of forgiveness is when you release the person from the punishment they deserve. See, when people wrong us, when they broke the relationship with us, they deserve to have a broken relationship. That's the consequence of their deed. One of my favorite theologians, Mirzal Wolf, he says, forgiveness cuts the tie of equivalence between the offense and the way that we treat the offender. When we forgive, we condemn, but we don't punish. Not only do we not punish for the sin that's committed against us, we release the person from the guilt that they have from their sin. And then lastly, with sin, we let the person's offense slip from our memory. Not right away, but eventually. Weeks, months, years, sometimes even decades for the offense. Not when it's still fresh, but when the time's right. See, to forgive is to first condemn, but then forgiveness is to release the person from the punishment that they deserve and free them from the guilt they carry, and eventually forgiveness lets the offense slip out of our memory. And we do this because this is exactly what God does for us. God names and condemns the sin we commit. But God does not punish us. God does not hold our actions against us. Instead, God separates us from the guilt of our actions. And then God forgets our wrongdoing. And so often we think that forgiveness is for us, the forgiver. I mean, we have true sayings like, you know, like holding on to a grudge is drinking poison, expecting the other person to get sick. Or Dr. Phil. Any Dr. Phil fans here? Couple. It's okay to admit it. He says, forgiveness is a choice you make to release yourself from anger, hatred, and resentment. But forgiveness is not primarily about our own well-being. Wolf, he writes, we should forgive primarily for the other's sake, not our own. Emotional healing is a good thing, and there are many paths that lead to it. But emotional healing is not the main purpose of forgiveness. To forgive means to forego a rightful claim against someone who has wronged you. Friends, we forgive primarily for the other's sake, not our own. Forgiveness is not about us and our needs. It's about the other person. Forgiveness is about having such radical love for our enemies and those who make themselves our enemies that we release them from the punishment that they rightly deserve. See, God forgives us not for God's sake, but for our sake. And God calls us to do the same. And so in today's reading, Jesus, he says, if the same person sins against you seven times a day, you must forgive that person seven times a day. You must forgive. And the disciples, they respond to Jesus' teaching. They say, Lord, increase our faith. They know how hard it is to forgive. They get it. They hear Jesus' teaching, and the first thing they think is, I can't do that. I mean, we all do it. With that one person that we have a hard time forgiving? Or that one situation that we believe is not forgivable? We say, you don't know what they did to me. You don't know how much they've wronged me. The disciples, they get it. They know what it's going to take. So they pray to Jesus in front of them, increase our faith. Because it's difficult to name to someone that they hurt you and sinned against you. It's difficult to condemn their actions and at the same time not punish them for it. It is difficult to release them from guilt. And it's difficult to love them so completely that even though they've wronged you, you want the best for them. Lord, increase our faith. I came across this quote by Madeline Engel, and she said, slowly I have realized that I do not have to be qualified to do what I'm asked to do. That I have to just go ahead and do it, even though I can't do it as well as it ought to be done. And she goes on to say, this was one of my most liberating life lessons. Friends, we won't be perfect at forgiving. But we have a God who will perfect it within us. God loves you so radically that even though God condemns you for sin, God does not punish you. God doesn't want you to feel guilty for it. God doesn't hold it against you. God wants the best for you. We have been given perfect forgiveness in Jesus. Let us strive, even when it seems impossible, to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us. Lord, increase our faith. Amen.